invite you to listen to a short part of chapter 9 of the book Sirrusalat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini. One of the factors which cause the perfect presence of heart is watching time and being punctual for prayer before Allah Almighty. After having realized the outcome and the importance of its deeds, then should take care about the time thereabout. One of the great secrets of praising is that each one has its own effect and form on the heart, which causes it illuminate and make the heart humble to the Creator and brings forth perfect obedience for the soldiers of soul to the spirituality.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and I'm your host Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi with the sayings of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini has said that the month of Ramadan is the month of prophethood and is blessed as the revelation has been revealed therein the night of Qadr. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr." The night of the Qadr is a night in which Allah has revealed the whole Quran. And He says, "Wama adraka ma laylatul qadr." You don't know what is laylatul qadr. You don't know the value of this night. This night in which the angels, they come towards you. They send peace upon you. They say salam till the time of Fajr, till the time of dawn. And this is the night in which, according to the narrations, it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes or gives rizq in this night. These are very important night. And Imam Khomeini also says that the month of Ramadan is the month of prophethood.
أنا لن أنساك فأنت في قلبي دائما تمضي الأيام ودعائي كل عام ربي تقبلنا يا ربي بلغنا بلغنا رمضان
The month in which you can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the month in which Allah has opened His doors of mercy, the Babur Rahmah, the doors of Rahmah. They are all opened, and there are angels who call people that, is there anyone who wants to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? According to the narrations, it is said that people are purified in the month of Ramadan. If they have done sins in their life, they are forgiven in this month, especially in the nights of the Qadr, the night of the Qadr in which Allah revealed the Quran, the night of the Qadr in which He sends down angels who send peace upon the mankind, who send peace on the mu'mineen. And this night is the night in which we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the time, this night is a time in which we need to get closer. Why? Because it is khayrun min alfishar. It is better than 1,000 months. So this is a special night, and we need to be very much careful, especially those who are fasting, who can fast in the month of Ramadan. Do not miss the nights of Qadr inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
إلا الله. Around the World with Reporters.
Pakistan's federal parliament in Islamabad. The lower house of the parliament is preparing to resume a debate on whether or not to expel French ambassador over repeated incident of blasphemy in France against Islam's last prophet Muhammad. However, days before the resumption of parliamentary debate here, the European Union Parliament has come up with what appears to be counter-resolution to pressurize Islamabad to prevent the expulsion of French envoy from Pakistan. The European Parliament has decided to review with Pakistan our trade agreement known as Generalized System of Preferential Plus or GPS Plus over what it calls a rising anti-French sentiments and mistreatment of minorities under blasphemy laws in Pakistan. Under this trade deal, Islamabad gets an estimated annual additional $1.5 billion trade benefits, which are far less than the economic losses Pakistan suffers almost every year because of mass unrest linked with Islamophobia in France. The frequent incidents of blasphemy in France has led to mass unrest across Pakistan.
The European Union is putting pressure on Pakistan, and they want them to weigh and to see whether this decision of expelling the French ambassador from Pakistan, will the government of Pakistan, will the people of Pakistan pay the price? Are they ready?
European Union's concerns go much beyond possibly expelling French ambassador.
Prime Minister Khan has crossed the Rubicon. EU policy towards countries that enable Islamic extremism must be resolute. Withdraw Pakistan's GSP Plus status now.
In an official reaction, Islamabad expressed disappointment with the European Union, pointing out that it reflects a lack of understanding in the context of blasphemy and associated religious sensitivities in Pakistan and elsewhere in the Muslim world.
None of the convict of the blasphemy law was ever executed in Pakistan after successful governments and superior judiciary allegedly buckled under pressure to set convicts free and led them to migrate and settle in Europe. This has led to lynching of 75 under trial prisoners and suspects amid reports of misuse of blasphemy law in isolated cases since 1987 onwards. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Every year on the 1st of May, protesters fill the streets of cities around the world, marching on what's known as May Day or International Labour Day. Demonstrators usually consist of various groups supporting a wide variety of causes. Yet this year in the UK, activists joined more than 40 protests throughout the country centred around one thing: opposition to the controversial Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Bill, with the main focus of dissent coming from London.
Most notable to me were the fact that the police, under the powers of this legislation, and this is new, will be able to say that this demonstration, for example, through the noise that it's causing, is causing a nuisance. And if that nuisance is serious, they will be able to arrest people, fine them up to £10,000, and imprison them.
What will be next? That bill comes through, that's just going to be one of a whole range of new policies and things that would just silence any form of criticism.
The new legislation pending in Parliament could allow police to impose conditions on protests, including start and finish times and the imposition of noise limits. This bill would also allow the police to prematurely end a protest if it caused serious annoyance to the surrounding community, organisation and businesses, which demonstrators argue is the whole point of protests.
This bill makes it impossible to have any kind of strike, any kind of picket that has any effect.
Thousands upon thousands have turned up here to defend the right to protest, something Brits up and down the country feel is under threat.
More than 600 civil society and protest groups have called for the government to drop the legislation, and the mobilisation of protesters on the streets has already forced a planned passage through Parliament to be delayed. Yet only time will tell whether the huge protests up and down the country has successfully defeated the anti-protest bill. Ahmed Gabello, London.
Over 300 marches took place and hundreds of thousands demonstrated all over France for May Day to claim more rights for the workers. The COVID crisis is hitting the French economy very hard, but not everybody is equally affected by the crisis. The 40 biggest French companies are doing very well despite the COVID crisis, but they prefer to pay benefits for their shareholders rather than improving working conditions. So the main concern for French trade unions now is to save jobs and to stop companies from firing workers.
The big companies have received a lot of public money without any social ecological conditions to fulfill. Public money cannot be given to companies that fire workers continue to pollute, companies that relocate. So we demand that strict conditions be imposed before giving public aid to companies.
The COVID crisis has highlighted the importance of ordinary workers for the French economy. Garbage collectors, railway workers, supermarket cashiers, mostly women, home care workers, delivery drivers, and, of course, hospital workers. Their work is now widely considered as essential to keep the economy running. French President Macron promised to re-evaluate their jobs.
Macron just promised a bonus that is not even obligatory. He does not want to increase the minimum wage, and that is for us the reference. The government thinks that the higher salaries will lead to less jobs, but for us it's the opposite. Higher salaries will boost the economy and create more jobs.
The demonstration in Paris was closely monitored by the police. Clashes broke out when more radical demonstrators threw stones and bottles to the police officers who charged and fired tear gas. There is a lot of frustration among working people. Many blame the French authorities for its disengagement from the public sector, especially the hospital sector, which is crucial to get the coronavirus under control. The anger is still growing among working people. Those at the front line against the coronavirus demand a permanent upgrade of their jobs, salary and working conditions. But the French government, till now, has only paid them bonuses once. Chris Den Hunt, Paris.
Across the world, and even in the United States, people took to the streets to celebrate International Workers' Day, May 1st. The turbulent 2020 saw America reverse 50 years of political apathy. Marchers say the time for the lower and middle classes to unite is now, because the 1% is already united and profiting from soaring post-lockdown inequalities every day.
I do think that there will be a rise of leftism because, you know, when we're able to win certain gains through struggles like Black Lives Matter has, you know, getting Chauvin convicted, that shows the power of the working class to fight for more. And, this is just the beginning of the mobilizations I think we're going to see.
Given the status of Chicago as the ideological center of neoliberal thought, many may be surprised that the epicenter of the very first May Day ever was Chicago. In 1886, 100,000 Chicagoan leftists peacefully took to the streets to demand an 8-hour working day and were met with deadly police violence. The U.S. government failed to replace May Day with an attempt at Law and Order Day, but by 1890, the first International Workers' Day for Unity and Solidarity was declared. The holiday is celebrated in scores of countries and often called Labor Day, but most English-language countries celebrate their own Labor Day in autumn.
This is a day where we're connecting lots of struggles that are important to the workers' movement, right? Immigrants' rights, the defunding the police, the Black Lives Matter explosion of the last year, right? The uprising has shown that there is really a fighting mood within the U.S., the workers' movement in general.
Many 19th-century struggles are still being fought today, such as against the privileges and parasitism created by monarchies. New U.S. President Joe Biden just rejected a $15 per hour minimum wage, even though wages haven't been hiked since 2009, and non-governmental estimates of inflation are 10% annually. Businesses like Amazon are dubbed innovation heroes in the mainstream media, yet are notorious for grueling working conditions. Many marching on May Day also oppose Western liberal democracy, which is often accused of creating and protecting a new aristocracy on the backs of the average worker. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago. ¶¶
another joint commission meeting among the remaining signatories of the Iran nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, comes to an end in Vienna. Iranian lead delegate, Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, says an agreement has been reached to remove the majority of individuals and entities on the U.S. sanctions list, and that negotiations are continuing on the rest of the names on the list. Araghchi had mentioned earlier that the U.S. has also agreed to lift sanctions on Iran's energy, finance, insurance, automotive and shipping sectors. But Iran is demanding the removal of all U.S. sanctions imposed after the U.S. withdrawal from the deal in 2018, including those imposed under other labels by the Trump administration.
It's a very complicated issue, and as you know, sanctions have different categories, and we have to deal with all of them. Of course, what is our guiding principle is the firm positions taken by the Islamic Republic of Iran and has been emphasized by the Supreme Leader.
Iran has also steadfastly opposed a step-by-step process, saying it would only go back to full compliance after all U.S. sanctions are lifted and the Islamic Republic verifies their effective removal. Araghchi said delegates are now involved in the time-consuming process of drafting an agreement.
Now we have some texts available to us based on the negotiations we have already made, and now we are working on the words and phrases and sentences and paragraphs.
EU coordinator Enrique Mora said there were moderate advances, adding that with more detail comes more complexity. While the U.S. delegation led by Robert Malley has been engaged in negotiations in Vienna, there's been no direct talks between Iran and the U.S. Delegates have decided to have further consultations in their respective capitals before returning for another joint commission session here at the end of next week. Homa Lezgi, Vienna.
Thousands of Palestinians took to the streets in the Gaza Strip after the Friday prayers in solidarity with Jerusalem al-Quds and its people. The Hamas movement organized a mass rally. The protesters slammed the acts of violence done by Israeli forces in Jerusalem al-Quds and expressed solidarity with Palestinians in the occupied territories.
Jerusalem al-Quds has always been our main cause of conflict and the destination of all the resistance and revolutions. We will not accept the Israeli regime's attempts to Judaize al-Quds by expelling and killing its people and demolishing their houses. Al-Quds is known for its brave men and women.
We are here to stress on our support to protesters in Jerusalem al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque and to tell them that we are here feeling what they feel and we will be all gathered to liberate Palestine and Jerusalem al-Quds. I call on the international community to stand by our people in Al-Aqsa and support them against the inhumane Israeli regime.
The mass rally in Gaza, which occurred for a second Friday in a row, was triggered by Israeli restrictions on Palestinian worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque and the regime's crackdown on protesters against the restrictions. The protesters in the Gaza Strip vowed not to remain silent to the Israeli aggression against their brothers and sisters.
This is a message to our people in Jerusalem al-Quds that we will keep supporting and defending you against the Israeli occupation. We won't sit idle until seeing Al-Aqsa free and raising the flags of Palestine in Al-Quds. We are all united on the road of resistance against this occupation.
Palestinians consider resistance as the only way to respond to all Israeli violations and a key to liberating the occupied Palestinian territories.
In the middle of the holy month of Ramadan, the historic Jama Mosque in Srinagar, the capital city of Indian-administered Kashmir, wears a deserted look. So are the other religious places across the region. Amid rapid surge in COVID cases, the religious bodies here have suspended congregational prayers and other religious gatherings.
We should understand the present situation. We request everyone to offer prayers at home instead of going to mosques. In this holy month, let's all pray for those affected by this virus and for an end to the pandemic.
Authorities in Kashmir have imposed lockdown to curb a surge in COVID infections and deaths. The announcement to impose lockdown came after the region recorded 700% increase in active COVID infections in this month alone, sending the alarm bells ringing. Officials have already banned gathering of more than four people, but essential services have been exempted from the lockdown. Authorities claim that there is no shortage of oxygen, medicines and COVID vaccine in the region, saying the government is handling the COVID situation effectively. But some people blame authorities for their late response to the pandemic.
There was no robust system of testing at the airport, at the Srinagar airport. And the biggest problem in our case was that the government and the administration here threw open Tulip Garden and organized other Khelo programs, mass gatherings, fashion shows. So this was to showcase normalcy. And in the process, what happened that from 50 odd cases per day, now we are here where we have more than 3,000 cases on a daily basis. And there are 30 plus deaths.
India, the world's second most populous nation, remains in deep crisis as hospitals and morgues are overwhelmed by the pandemic, with medicine and oxygen in short supply and strict limits on movement imposed in the country's largest cities.
The second wave of COVID-19 pandemic is causing a steep rise in the number of infections and posing a huge challenge for health experts and the government here. Experts have warned that the fight against the pandemic is far from over and have urged the people not to drop their guard against the deadly virus. Say the least of Indian administered Kashmir.
Palestinian refugees and Lebanese factions have held several gatherings in solidarity with Jerusalem al-Quds. Lebanese political representatives denounced the Israeli aggressive practices both in the occupied territories and the besieged Gaza Strip.
So we are here today to say to the world, and to especially to the Arab people, not the Arab leaders, that they should unite and stand against what's happening. They should be united against the crimes against humanity we are seeing. Innocent people are being bombarded every day. Innocent kids and people are being killed every day, and nobody's lifting a finger.
Palestinian factions stress that as long as Palestinians are able to protect their historic right to their homeland, then there is no fear that Israel or any collaborators can steal it away.
The battle for Al-Quds is a battle on behalf of the entire nation, so the least we can do is to give support to this intifada. This is an extension of several uprisings since 2015 and until today. The occupation forces want to grasp control over the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its surroundings. Palestinian protesters need support, and today we tell them that the Al-Quds is not alone. We saw the support from the West Bank and Gaza to Al-Quds, which shows that Jerusalem Al-Quds won't be left alone.
The speech is noted that all the resistance factions, whether in Lebanon or Palestine, and the entire resistance bloc, united stands with the Palestinian people and their fight for freedom and life.
Your steadfastness is a humiliation to the occupation. We stand with you every single day, and soon we will liberate Palestine.
I tell our brothers in Al-Quds that God is with you, and this means no one can defeat you. I tell all the people of Palestine, hold on, victory is near. You're the rightful owners of this land.
Protests and confrontations broke out in occupied Jerusalem Al-Quds after Israeli authorities decided to break a pledge of respecting the right to worship by forcing their way into Al-Aqsa Mosque's four minarets in order to silence the evening call to prayers. The Israeli violence has evoked anger across the Arab and Muslim worlds.
A salute to Jerusalem Al-Quds and the steadfastness of the Palestinian people in the Holy Land is what Lebanese and Palestinian activists have gathered for today. And despite all blockades and Israeli aggressive policies, they stress that the younger generations will resist more than ever before. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
After a still deeply disputed election, new United States President Joe Biden has reached 100 days in office with a lower approval rating than any other newly elected president since 1953, excepting Donald Trump. Many believe the country is only in a temporary political calm, which could be broken with the reported return of Trump to the political rally circuit in May.
Well, I don't know if the honeymoon is over. I think in some cases the honeymoon was over a few days after the inauguration. or even before the inauguration.
Biden finally gave his address, where he also unveiled a 10-year social infrastructure plan, which is expected to get many months of pushback from Congress. Many say Biden has had some successes: the coronavirus vaccine distribution, the $2 trillion infrastructure plan, ending the Muslim travel ban, and returning to the Paris Climate Agreement. But Biden has already backtracked from campaign promises in many vital areas. The fight for $15 per hour, the amount and length of unemployment payments, total household stimulus payments, dropping Medicare eligibility to 60 years old, student debt relief, reversing Trump's tax cuts for the rich, and more.
He's reneged on everything he promised, and he comes up with an excuse. I can't do it, or we can't do it because one guy's voting against it. We can't do it because the parliamentarian has decided we can't put it in the bill. I mean, people are pretty much aware that these are lame excuses, and that the Democrats, and Biden especially, are just using these lame excuses to not do what they said they would do.
At 100 days and amid similar economic disaster, Franklin Delano Roosevelt had passed 15 major bills which established hugely influential initiatives. Contrarily, Biden's $1.9 trillion economic stimulus package didn't establish a single long-term program. On foreign policy, Biden has adopted almost all of the stances of his controversial predecessor. He has not lifted sanctions on Iran nor returned to the JCPOA pact on Iran's nuclear energy program. Russia's foreign minister said Biden's refusal of diplomacy and lack of respect could make relations worse than even during the Cold War. He has not taken Cuba off the state terrorist list, and he adopted Trump's widely criticized low quota for asylum seekers despite a crisis on the southern border. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
IRIB English Radio presents The Month of Allah. Let's be with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Welcome to the program Month of Allah. Today we warn the martyrdom of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, one of God's best creation. In our tradition, it has that Imam Ali alayhi salam and our noble prophet, they are the fathers of the ummah. They are the fathers of the nation. Therefore, when we mourn and we cry for Imam Ali alayhi salam, it's as if we are mourning for our own father, even greater, our spiritual father. When Imam Ali alayhi salam was born, a miraculous thing happened. He was born inside the Kaaba. He was the only one to be born inside the holy Kaaba. Therefore, Allah wants to show us something. What does He want us to know? That the person that is being born here is someone very great, someone that is very azim. And this is the quality that we would like to talk about, the greatness of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Of course, because he is the student of the noble prophet of Islam, whenever we praise Imam Ali as followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we're also praising his teacher, Rasulullah. Imam Ali alayhi salam has different narrations and different fada'il that are covered vastly in the books of hadith. One of those traditions is that فَمَنْ يَمُوتْ يَرَنِي. He says, whoever dies will see me. And the traditions, it says, that he will see me in the same way that they perceived me. If you loved Imam Ali, you saw him as a compassionate Imam, a very kind Imam, you will see the kindness of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But at the same time, if you, na'udhu billah, had hatred of Imam Ali, if you had jealousy of Imam Ali, you will see him in the same way that you perceived him. one of the poets said something very interesting. He says, because of this tradition, whoever dies will see me. He said, then I wish that every day I had 1,000 deaths, so that every day I could see Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. In another tradition, it talks about the love of Imam Ali, that whoever has love of Ali ibn Abi Talib in his heart, the same way that the messengers and the prophets of God, how easily they will face death, and how kind Israel, the messenger of death, the angel of death, will come and take their soul so easily, in the same way the lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib, in the same way he will be easily facing death. We have in other traditions about the greatness of Amir al-Mu'mineen, when asked about Naba'ul Azim, what is the great event? In this tradition, it says that Imam Ali alayhi salam says that I am Naba'ul Azim, I am the great event. And in the tradition, it says that there is no ayah, hiya akbar minni, there is no sign of God that is greater than me. If we come to understand this hadith, it means that one of the greatest signs and manifestations of God Himself is imamat. We say in the traditions and our du'as that they are wajhullah. Not that God has a face, not that God has any physical form. We as followers of the Ahlul Bayt are far from this. But if you want to see God's beauty, if you want to see God's compassion, if you want to see God's power, they are the illustration and the manifestation of His attributes. Therefore, when we think about Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and we think of him as Naba'ul Azim, we think of him as the great event, when we think of him as Ayatul Uzma, the greatest sign of God, we come to this conclusion that the Holy Quran guides us towards first itself, towards God. And when we read the Quran, it guides us towards the Messenger of Allah. It tells us that this book has a messenger, and then we accept the Messenger of God. Then the Quran at the same time guides us towards imamat, and tells us to be like the followers of Isa ibn Maryam in the verses of the Quran, be like the Hawariyun, and to follow Isa ibn Maryam in the verses of the Holy Quran. Meaning that to be followers of the truth, to be followers of the messenger, to be followers of that human being that Allah has brought to you to show and to explain to you all aspects of your life, to solve for you mysteries of this world, to be a behavioral paradigm for you to follow. Therefore, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the greatest sign of God, that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the greatest form of guidance for us, that we can learn about his life, and we can understand what he did, and we can, inshallah, act in the same way that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam acted. And tonight is the night of Qadr, the night of destiny. We ask you to keep us in your du'as, to keep the believers throughout the world in your du'as. And one of our du'as is that Allah may, inshallah, give us the ziyarat of Imam Ali in this world and give us the shafa'at intercession of Imam Ali in the hereafter. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
Ahead of a special election on Saturday, 1st of May 2021, to replace a Texas congressman who died after contracting COVID-19, former U.S. President George W. Bush said the ascendancy of supporters of Donald Trump suggests Republicans want to be extinct. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Martin Pengelly. The piece is titled, Bush, Anglo-Saxon Ideals Show Pro-Trump Republicans Want to be Extinct. Just after a special election, which was held on Saturday, 1st of May, to replace a Texas congressman who died after contracting COVID-19, the former U.S. President George W. Bush said the ascendancy of supporters of Donald Trump suggests Republicans want to be extinct. The special election was held in the 6th District of Texas, whose Republican representative Ron Wright died last February. 23 candidates competed in the election, special election, all but one of the 11 Republicans are tied to the apron strings of Donald Trump, the former president who still dominates the Republican Party. Just one candidate, the former wrestler Dan Rodimer, promises to make America Texas again and has said communists in Washington, D.C. are ruining America. Donald Trump, meanwhile, has endorsed another candidate, Susan Wright, the former congressman's widow, who the former president said last Saturday will be strong on the border issue, on crime, pro-life, our brave military and vets, and will always protect your Second Amendment. The one Republican that did not express fealty to Donald Trump, former Marine Michael Wood, told CNN he was afraid for the future of the country, given his party's adherence to Donald Trump's lie that the election was stolen, its reluctance to condemn those who rioted at the Capitol building on 6th of January in support of that lie, and the prevalence of conspiracy theories such as QAnon. Michael Wood said, I felt like I had to stand up. Somebody needed to stand up and say that this isn't what the Republican Party should be. Nonetheless, it is, according to a CNN poll released on Friday, 70% of Republicans said Joe Biden did not legitimately win enough votes to be named president. Joe Biden won more than 7 million more votes than Donald Trump and took the Electoral College 306 to Trump's 232, the same score by which Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton back in 2016. Former President George W. Bush is promoting a new book, a collection of portraits and stories of immigrants. In an interview last Friday by The Dispatch, an anti-Trump conservative podcast, he was asked about recent moves by pro-Trump extremists to form a congressional caucus promoting Anglo-Saxon traditions. George W. Bush said, "To me, that basically says that we want to be extinct." If such trends continued, Bush said, in 3 to 5 years, there's not going to be a Republican Party. I mean, I read about that, and I'm saying to myself, wow, these people need to read my book. And I mean, it's like saying when I was running for governor of Texas, you'll never get any Latino votes because you're a Republican. And I said, you watch, and I worked hard. And the key thing was to let them know that I could hear their voice. I mean, democracy is great in that sense. And the idea of kind of saying you can only be Republican if, then the ultimate extension of that is it ends up being a one-person party. Asked if he agreed with more than 50% of Republicans who think the last presidential election was stolen, George W. Bush said, no, I guess I'm one of the other 50%. Bush added, By the way, I'm still a Republican, proud to be a Republican. I think Republicans will have a second chance to govern because I believe that the Biden administration is a uniting factor, particularly on the fiscal side of things. So, you know, we'll see, but I know this, that if the Republican Party stands for exclusivity, you know, used to be country clubs, now evidently it's white Anglo-Saxon Protestantism, then it's not going to win anything. Former Marine Michael Wood, the anti-Trump Texas candidate Republican, said he voted for Donald Trump in 2020, but he also said he thought the Republican Party is going to get to where I am eventually. I want that to happen without having to lose and lose and lose again. Political parties sometimes only get the message they need to try something different after a string of losses. I think we should do that now, as opposed to doing it after we lose in the midterm elections or lose another presidential election. The Texas district has tended towards Democrats in recent elections, but remains unlikely to flip. Earlier this week, Donald Trump told Fox Business Channel he was 100% thinking about running in the next presidential election in 2024. Rodimer, the former wrestler who is among the top money raisers in the field of Texas, told CNN, "President Trump is still the leader of the Republican Party. I don't think he's going to go anywhere ever. I hope he doesn't. If he runs again, I'll be fired up and I'll be excited." Meanwhile, Mitt Romney was loudly booed at the Utah Republican Party convention last Saturday, 1st of May, and he was called a traitor and a communist as he tried to speak to the crowd. "Aren't you embarrassed?" the Salt Lake City Tribune reported the Utah senator asking the crowd of 2,100 delegates at the Maverick Center in West Valley City. "I'm a man who says what he means, and you know I was not a fan of our last president's character issues." Mitt Romney was the sole Republican to vote to impeach Donald Trump twice, for seeking political dirt on opponents from Ukraine and for inciting the deadly insurrection at the Capitol on 6th of January.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion, Brother Ali Alevian and Brother Sohail Sarani. Brother Sohail, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Assalamu rahmatullah. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me here.
So Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, dedicated this new series of the program Viewpoints in the whole month of Ramadan to the topic which is rarely discussed, we can say, in the academic fields and also Islamic fields, and that is the book Nahjul Balagha and the significance of this book as tackled by the leader of Iran on different occasions and his different speeches. So for today's discussion, we are discussing the important topic of the book Nahjul Balagha, compiled by Sharif al-Radhi, or known as Sayyid al-Radhi. He was the one who collected and selected the most important sermons, speeches, letters, and aphorisms or wise sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the book Nahjul Balagha. This book is considered as one of the greatest books in Islam after the Holy Quran, and unfortunately it's a pity that it's not given that much due attention even inside Islam, but there have been so many different interpretations and commentaries on this book. But Brother Ali, as the leader of Iran says, Ayatollah Khamenei, Natural Balagha is a help book for knowing more the religion of Islam. How we can know Islam more, or the true Islam more, through the book Nahjul Balagha?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Thank you very much for this beautiful and important question, because it could be a good question even for those who are living in the West or those who are not very familiar or acquainted with Islamic knowledges and sciences, even abroad. And I mean, by abroad, I mean outside of the Islamic countries, and namely our country, Iran. For a person, definitely for a researcher, to know about Islam, I think the best thing is to refer to the real and basic sources of that issue of research. Brother, we cannot judge Islam by what has been said or has been written by others about Islam, or those who claim to be Orientalists or others cannot be a reliable search or reliable source for us. It is famous to be said that it is good to drink water from the headwaters.
That's right.
That is
from the fountain.
From the fountain.
That's right.
So a person who wants to have a good water, a very purified and beautiful water, he needs to go to the fountain or to the headwater of the to take from the real and genuine source.
The pure water.
If a person wants to know about Islam, so what is the best source to know about it? Definitely the first and the foremost source is Al-Quran, and this is true. But the second, if I have not got enough knowledge, enough ma'rifa, enough ilm about what Islam is, so what is the second? Which book should I read? There are different variety of books written about Islam with different intentions, but those who are real researchers, I want to tell them, if they are familiar with the art of research, as a researcher, as a scholar, as a person who wants to delve into a scientific question and issue, it requires to refer to Quran and Nahjul Balagha, the Peak of Eloquence.
That's right.
Because when Quran has been revealed to the Holy Prophet, it was supposed to be interpreted by him and his household. Mm-hmm. And actually, Nahj Balagha is a sequence or following book of Al-Quran. And also, in some sort of way, we can say that even it is a good commentary of Al-Quran. And it the importance of it is to the importance, actually equals the importance of Al-Quran. Because this is what the Holy Prophet himself told us when he talks about thaqalain, or two great heavy things, and he says, "Inni tarakum fikum thaqalain kitabullah wa atrati." I leave among you two important, heavy, precious things. One is Al-Quran, and the other is my Ahl-Bayt. It means that they are the interpreters of the Quran. So if you want to know about Islam, read the Nahjul Balagha. Okay. If you want to know about Islam, first read Quran, then read Nahjul Balagha. And Nahjul Balagha has been written or said, actually, as a collection of sayings and wisdoms and sermons and was sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he is the first person who came to accept Islam among the Muslims. He was the first person who accepted and embraced Islam at the dawn of Islam, and then he became the leader of this religion at the dawn of Islam, right after the Holy Prophet. So whatever comes to us is from this person.
Okay, thank you much, Brother Ali. So it shows that the sayings in the Nahjul Balagha are really practical ones.
Very true.
That's right, and comes from the practice of Imam Ali alayhi salam. I could remember there was one professor of mathematics in one of the foreign universities. He was invited to the city of Qom. I was his interpreter, the translator. His name was Dr. Munir Fasha. He said that once I was looking for a book in my library, and all of a sudden, by accident, I came to a book known as Nahjul Balagha. Mm. So I picked it. When I opened it, Mm-hmm. The first sentence and the phrases that I wrote, I said, who is this man? And who was this man who wrote this? This is really close to the texture of the Holy Quran. I've never seen something like that before. Mm. And he said that for me as a Christian, it was really a shock that how the wording of Imam Ali alayhi salam could be similar to the Holy Quran in terms of the eloquence and the fasaha and the balagha. That's right. Okay, Brother Soheil, let's get to
related to what you said, Shakib Arsalan.
Shakib Arsalan, okay.
Egyptian scholar and belletrist, when he was appointed to be given, I think, a prize for his literary works, the presenter of that conference or that meeting said that we can see only two important and great literary works in the history. One is for Shakib Arsalan and the other is for Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He got angry and stood up and said, are you comparing me to Ali alayhi salam, Ali ibn Abi Talib? Who am I to be compared to Ali in my literature? Though my nasr or my writings in comparison to Ali is nothing.
Okay.
This is just to complement what you have said.
That's right. And we should take care that Ali was not a belletrist. He was an imam, okay? He was a successor to Prophet Muhammad. His verse has divine rootings, and we can say roots. The case, sometimes what is misunderstood in the world of Islam among the belletrists and the men of literature is that they are comparing the text of the Holy Quran, Saifat al-Sajjadi and Nahj al-Balagha, to a mere text of adabiyat or literature. But that was not literature, okay? That was a part of the literature of Islam. But the case is that the text and the context of this book is very much different from the stories, the, we can say, novels, short novels or something like that, or the poetry.
That's very important point, actually.
Yes. Brother Soheil, what's your take on that?
Yes, brother, that's a very good point that you mentioned about Imam Ali alayhi salam being leader and not just belletrist. Oftentimes, like, you know, people tend to limit certain things to a certain area. Like, for example, Nahj al-Balagha, if you look at that book from just from the literature point of view, then it's limiting to it. But very rightly, Rehber mentions in one of his speeches that it's not a work of a wise man, for example, who is, you know, out of his rationality and, you know, the high level of cognition, he's writing something or he is mentioning which is not connected with the reality. Mm-hmm. Or it's not the work of a spiritual man or Arif, for example. So the wayfarer, you would say.
That's right.
It's not the work of that spiritual being who is you know, projecting his inner thoughts and inner feelings into some sermons and, you know, speeches.
That's right.
It's not that. It's actually connected and very well touched with the reality because he was the leader at the time and he touched upon all the dimensions of humanities. He touched upon various aspects that human life faces. Okay. There is about war in Nahj al-Balagha. There is about peace in Nahj al-Balagha. Mm-hmm. There is about politics. There is about economy. There is about taqwa. There is about, you know, worshipping God. So there is about Tawheed, there is about belief system.
That's right.
So it's a complete code of conduct. It's a very, you know, if you look at the book in that particular angle, then how Rehber mentions is when you read Nahj al-Balagha and when you comprehend that, in a process you get to know Imam Ali alayhi salam and you get to know Islam.
That's all right.
Both at the same time because, you know, it's a complete Islam Shanasi.
Yes. Islamic studies,
yeah. Islamology.
Islamology. Right. And then you know about the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam as well, because Imam Ali alayhi salam lived his life based on Quran and Nahj al-Balagha himself.
This is very important, the important point that Brother Soheil says. You know, when we get to the interpretation of the religion of Islam and the character of the Prophet Muhammad and Holy Quran, there are so many different sayings regarding this. And every person from his own aspect and angle has talked about Prophet Muhammad and the reality of Islam. But when you get to the text of Nahj al-Balagha and through the character of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the very personality of his sayings, you want to know Islam, I think you have an authentic source now, because Ali was the first Muslim. He was among the most important authentic Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad. He was the successor of Prophet Muhammad. So many divine secrets have been blown into his spirit by Prophet Muhammad. So when you want to know Islam and the true Islam, I think some people maybe condemn us of fanaticism, that you are a fanatic and we can say fan of the religion of Islam because of Muhammad and because of the very nature of Islam. But when you get to natural balagha and the very character of Imam Ali alayhi salam, then you can find how practical could a person be and be obedient to his master, that is Allah, and then the Prophet of Allah, that is Prophet Muhammad. Exactly. This is unfortunately what is missed in today's world, you know. When we want to refer into the interpretation of Islam, we start from the various scholars that live in our contemporary time.
You know, in one of the tradition, I would paraphrase that Imam Ali al-Islam says that know the truth and you will know the people of truth.
Mm-hmm. People
so
of truth,
so
that's right.
There's the right methodology of knowing, you know, looking at Islam, that you need to know the truth,
mm-hmm.
and then you will know who were on truth and who were those personalities. So you don't learn the things through the personality, but you know the personality through the, you know, the substance.
That's
and
right.
Very rightly mentioned, you know, in one of the tradition, we also see that, and again I'm paraphrasing, where our holy infallible alayhi salam says, if you present our sayings and our teachings to people as they are, then the beauty of them would make people follow us. You know, so that's very obvious. Like when you present the content to the world, and they will definitely, you know, Rehber also mentions in one of his speeches that those who are, you know, those who are criticizing Islam, or those who have some issue, and then they are pinpointing each and everything about Islam.
That's all right.
Before doing that, I would like to tell them, and he clearly mentioned that, you know, go and tell my words to them. Go and say them, tell this to them, those who are like, you know, in the Reformation, you know, quote unquote, like they call
That's
it,
right.
call themselves as reformative camp or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Go between them. And, you know, tell them that, you know, before doing this criticism, read once this book, Najul Balagha, and then see if you can criticize.
Okay, thank you much, Brother Sohail and Brother Ali Alavian, for your presence in the program Viewpoints, which was on the topic in Najul Balagha, as discussed by the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Dear listeners, visit our website at parstudio.com/Iran Call of Islam Radio, also our YouTube channel, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
يا نور الهلال أقبل تعال فالشوق طال والقلب سما نحو السماء